It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with life-giving conversations that matter. And now, your host, Carrie Abbott.
You know, I love this time of year. As we prepare for Christmas, as we think about the birth of Jesus, such an unusual story of immaculate conception, such an unusual story that I'm sure was very complicated when it was taking place. We can look back and read it and say, oh, that's beautiful. But think of the different people involved and the storyline there. Just so powerful and so precious. And that's one of the reasons why often at this time of year, I ask Maria Lancaster, our dear friend of this show and the founder of Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park, I ask her to come in if she can and bring in guests so we can talk about beautiful babies that are adopted and born, maybe in a story that's unique that other people are surprised by, but absolutely precious and powerful in their own way. And Maria, you've been on the show many times before. First of all, welcome to
the
studio.
Thank
you. It's great to have you in studio. Yes. We have some special guests with you that you're going to introduce in just a moment. But you and I, when we first talked, I was remembering the term snowflake baby because that's where I first heard it on Focus on the Family many years ago,
right,
when the idea of the fact that there were frozen embryos needing adoption, needing a mother's womb, needing a life opportunity, and that's what comes to mind. So here we are. It's winter. It's Christmas, and it just seems right to mention that. But first of all, it's a journey that you've been on, and for our listener who may not know you, why don't you tell them a little bit of your own story, and then we'll introduce our other guests.
Well, it's quite simple. My husband and I were trying to have a baby, and we were infertile. And we prayed for a baby and went to the doctor and got some tests and kind of inconclusive as to why it wasn't happening. And then one day my husband was driving and listening to Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family interview a woman who had been the first woman in America to adopt frozen embryos. And she had a little girl named Hannah. And my husband came through the door into my kitchen and he said, guess what we're going to do? And he told me the story. And I knew immediately that was why I had not conceived previously. And I knew I was called to do this by just instinct.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And that beautiful, precious child happens to be in studio.
Yes,
with
she
us
is.
Today. Alicia's here. She's in the corner over there. We're just waving at her right now. And that was many years ago. And I'm just amazed at how incredible she is.
Yeah.
She is the walking, breathing embodiment of that beautiful story. And so that impacted your life, obviously, as a mother.
Yes.
But then you went on to found Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park.
Right. That a few years after she was born, I partnered with Pastor Joe Featon, and Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park was formed through a series of miracles. And by more miracles, we got some media attention. So it was like immediately launched when we were, I wasn't even really ready for
it. We had a name.
We had a name, but, and so it just kind of totally, it was God's leading, and we will have our 10th anniversary next November.
Incredible.
An 84-born baby so far.
84.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. You getting to be part of that, who would have thought? For those of you who are new to the concept, they're frozen embryos because people go through fertility treatments and other incidents, which is not the reason we're here, but that's how that happens. That is a life. And those and that little life is placed in a freezer for years. You told me that yesterday that there was a baby born after 24 years.
Right. And we had a baby born after like 19
that
years.
That was our biggest record,
which was
19
which was
years.
Quite a record.
Yes.
And there was another one about the same time. But this 24 years is the oldest that I've ever heard of. And this just came out yesterday.
Wow.
It wasn't one of our children, but it was from another organization in Tennessee. And so the news came out of Tennessee.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And that is mind-boggling, so it's hard to wrap our head around that. You have another special guest here that I want you to introduce as we tell her story.
Well, this is really fun because Sarah and Matt also live out in my neck of the woods. And so it's fun because we're also, not only is she part of our embryo adoption program, but we're sort of neighbors.
Aww.
And so they contacted us, and sitting next to Sarah is the beautiful little boy named Frankie, and he is draining his bottle
right now. He is. He's sitting on a stool here. He's being so good. Hi, Frankie. And he's looking at me like, I still don't know who you are. That's okay. That's all right. Someday, Frankie, we'll be very close. He's sitting next to Mama. And Sarah, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's always good when we bring a family in, and we've had the family full of babies and kids and the studio, because we are huge fans of embryo adoptions, and we want you to share a little bit of your story with us.
Okay. Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely.
A few years ago, my husband and I decided that we wanted to start our family and thought that we would just go in like every other couple and have a baby, but it didn't turn out that way for us. We struggled with fertility also, and
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Found out pretty quickly that it probably just wasn't going to happen on our end. So just not knowing how to proceed, one of the fertility specialists that we talked to had said, hey, have you ever heard of snowflake babies? And I never had. I just had no idea such a thing existed. But I think, like Maria, I too kind of felt like, I think that's the way to go. I mean, that it really seemed to just resonate, and it resonate with me. It just seemed like such an answer to prayer if we couldn't have our own.
That how long had you been struggling with infertility?
About 2 years.
Okay.
And I feel blessed in some ways that we found out early enough that that door was going to be closed, you know, that we didn't have
because
to.
Because many have gone on for much longer, even before they're introduced to embryo adoption. So,
so I did feel blessed that wasn't a journey we had to go on too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we went through the process with Maria. Her office is 20 minutes away from my house. It just, again, felt like such an answer
so
to prayer
nice.
In some ways, because it was just so convenient.
Yes. Because you would have gone anywhere, let's be honest.
Truly,
at that point,
truly.
You're willing to drive or fly or do whatever it takes, right?
And so, you know, finding out it was a 20-minute drive, it just felt like it was just that much more meant to be.
Yeah.
And so we went through the process, and it was an interesting ride. But here we are with our Frankie, now just about 2 years old. His name's Franklin. I'm sure my mother-in-law would want me to, to specify that it's Franklin, and not
name.
Just Frankie.
I might add. Oh, my goodness. And he is adorable.
Well,
I mean, he is a light. And
he's
what a thrill. Were you happy throughout the process, nervous throughout the process, kind of a little trepidation? Because this is new, and you actually have the embryo implanted, so you're carrying a baby full term.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through pregnancy. This is one of the reasons this adoption is so precious.
Right.
This type of adoption is very unique that way. A woman gets to have the experience of carrying a child, which is no small thing. How was it for you?
You know, I felt like it was such an answer to prayer because I had that opportunity to be pregnant. And I think that was one of the things that I grieved so much in finding out that we wouldn't be able to have our own baby, was just missing that opportunity to be pregnant and to kind of just be in that experience.
Right.
And so we struggled. We went through the process and actually had a miscarriage the first time around.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it was really difficult. And that was already after two miscarriages previously before going through the embryo adoption process. And so after the third miscarriage, I wasn't sure I wanted to keep doing it, but Maria was wonderful and actually met me for coffee and walked me through the process, encouraged me, and, you know, just really helped me see that I needed, and Matt and I needed to really just keep going.
Okay,
and
that,
keep the
this
faith.
Is a key part, that because this is not just, okay, let's decide, and it happens when you're dealing with life. You know, we know that it's tender and vulnerable anyway. Under ideal circumstances,
right.
It's amazing that people exist,
right.
Because it's an incredible miracle. But to have the courage, you said she encouraged you, which means to inspire courage. It takes courage to step out into a medical procedure that could result in a beautiful child, but not guaranteed. Right, Maria? I mean, this is, there's no guarantees in anything.
Right.
You've had 84 children born, but there have been some challenges, I'm sure. So it does take a step of faith, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, it does take determination is what I say, because if people are willing to try and try again if need be, eventually a child will result. And we did have one family recently who, this is a record, They actually tried six times. And I don't say that to scare people out there, because that was an anomaly.
Yes.
But they kept at it.
Wow.
And they had their little girl, and I attended the first birthday party just about a month ago
of
that child.
I was going to say, you probably need a huge gift closet. Because I have a gift closet for those, you know, all the family members, and we have a lot of children and grandchildren already, and you have all these others that you are connected to. That's beautiful. Well, and Sarah, you obviously have a beautiful son now.
Thank you.
And what has the experience been like now? Because you have an adopting family who actually allowed you to adopt this embryo. Let's talk about that piece of the puzzle, because that's a whole other relationship that, Maria, I don't know, you're not obligated to be close to the other family, I understand, but there is a connection there. How does that work?
Well, that's a very good point, because in the beginning, during the matching process, we kind of evaluate both families, the donor families and the adopting families, and find out where their comfort level is on contact. And then we usually start people just known to each other on a first name basis and just kind of see how it goes. And it generally goes well, and over time it can expand, but it doesn't always. So it's a fluid thing.
Like anything with humans involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we just take it a day at a time and see where it goes and start people out on a level where they are most comfortable in the very beginning.
And you tend to do matches, from what I've seen and observed and what I've learned from you. You're trying to get similar backgrounds and similar race mix. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got blended families. You've got all kinds mm-hmm. of things. And you take that very seriously, that God is actually orchestrating a match.
Well, you know, here is the bottom line, is that it's going to be easier for the children, and this is what it's all about, if they feel like they completely fit in with their family.
Right.
So we just try to find families that are similar. Religious backgrounds, demographics, racial backgrounds, and other it's more like a tapestry. But in the end, what we're trying to do is weave two families together that are very similar, so that in the end, everyone feels comfortable, because that's my job, is to make sure that everyone feels right about this.
Right. And not just the family receiving the embryo, but the adopting family who's made a choice. We don't want our child to stay in the freezer. We want actually mm-hmm. a future. That is a huge risk. Mm-hmm. That is also a loving plan. That's why adoption is such, looks like Jesus, looks like God himself, who adopted us into his family. None mm-hmm. of this is easy, but it's profound and it's beautiful. And listen, we're going to go to break, but if you know someone who has struggled with infertility, you know someone who really feels called to possibly look into this, because it is a calling, much like I believe adoption is, take it seriously. You have to be determined, but the joy and the beauty, and if you could see little Frankie in here putting all his food is on his stool. Boy, he's good at packing some stuff there. That looks great. Frankie, your lunch looks really good. Are you going to share with everyone? We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what it's like as time goes on. And Sarah, you are now involved in a unique way as well with embryo adoption. So for those of you who want to know, you can go to adoptembryos.org. And we're going to talk more about how to get involved there, too. We'll be right back.
With the ongoing news stories of sexual assault, sexual confusion, and relationship breakdown, it's time for a positive solution. The Legacy Institute has been providing healthy relationship and sexuality resources since 2001, and now these relationship blueprints are available online with a subscription. That's right, now your family, church, or private school can have access to this life-changing information at a fraction of the original price. Every child deserves to be taught the truth about their design as a boy or a girl, how to have healthy relationships, and how to be successful being who God made them to be. Don't wait. Now's the time to teach the next generation how to have relationships with integrity at every age. For your subscription information, go to thelegacyinstitute.com. That's thelegacyinstitute.com. Or call 425-485-5346. That's 425-485-5346.
Hey friends, did you know our radio podcasts are now impacting lives in 87 countries? We're blessed by people sharing life-changing stories from help they receive from our show, and national authors and experts comment to our team that this is their favorite radio program to be on because of the respect and prayerful support they receive. These facts are incredibly humbling, and you're part of this positive story. Many of you have been with us from the beginning. When we determined our goal for this daily radio program would be to paint a bigger, more inspiring picture for people to see that sex is more than just a physical act. It's understanding God has designed men and women to live in agreement with their divine design for a lifetime. We've heard from many of you that you love our mission and our message. Thank you. If this show has blessed you, will you consider a year-end gift to help it continue? You can go to thelegacyinstitute.com to make your donation, or call 425-485-5346. 485-5346. That's thelegacyinstitute.com. And thank you for partnering with us in our mission.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair.
And now, back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
That song you're hearing is actually Sarah's favorite song. Sarah, you told me it goes along with the story that you've been processing. Sarah Hildebrand is here with Maria Lancaster, and we're talking about Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. Have you ever considered adoption? And I'm a big fan of adoption of any kind. I think a heart and a family are prepared by God to do that. We have a lot of children and a lot of orphans around the world. And we need to be open to that. I really believe that. Even if you're just in foster care and you want to be part of that process, we need you there too. But a unique adoption story that we've brought to you many times is embryo adoptions. And with me is Maria Lancaster. She is one of the founders of Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. And Maria, you know I love your ministry. And well, I love you too, because we've been friends now for years, and I am a fan of what's going on, because I believe adoption looks like God. Mm-hmm. But I know this is a unique adoption process. And for those who are just tuned in, give us a little background on what it's like if you're a family who has actually frozen embryos because of your own fertility treatments and you're not sure what to do about that, because that's a very vital part of this story as well.
Well, that's a very good question to talk about, because families do go through infertility treatments, yeah, and then they can have remaining embryos after they are done family building. And sometimes they're counseled in advance about this sort of situation that they find themselves in, but sometimes not. And
right.
So then the reality that they have remaining embryos that they don't have a lot of choices. They can freeze them forever, donate them to research, discard them, or open up the idea about letting the embryos be placed with another family. So it's a very emotional topic.
It is.
And a very big deal.
And it's coming on the tails, if you want to say, of another story, right? So this is all story going on, and we value and respect every single one. So to bring these stories together, mm-hmm, which is what you do, you bring families together to create this adoption. What's it like for the families who then go through the process? So the families who you matched up with Sarah and her husband, how did that go?
Well, you know, we match people that are similar, as you know, and Sarah and her husband were matched with another family similar to theirs, and they have their own unique, kind of contact and pattern between each other, as every match has its own unique pattern and match with each other.
And they get to decide that.
They get to decide that.
Good.
And they can drive the boat, after there's a child born. What does that look like? Do they want to meet? Do they not want to meet? Do they want to, go to once a year summer barbecue? Do they just want to email?
Do they want pictures?
Do they want pictures? And so we help facilitate what is going to meet the needs, because what we're trying to do is to meet the needs of the embryo first, but then the families have to all feel at peace about this.
Which is huge.
Yes, it is.
Because if you have an embryo and you say, well, I know what my child is going to look like, and then I all of a sudden see a child that looks like my child, I kind of want to know, right? I mean, I would want to know so much, and then I would need the Lord to comfort my heart to say, mm-hmm, you have created a life plan, and you, mm-hmm, get to have eternity with this child. Mm-hmm. In that sense, right? Which would be a beautiful thing. And yet it's complicated because you have different families. Sarah's here, and you and your husband, Matt, adopted little Frankie, and he's almost two,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes, almost two.
He's beautiful. And how has that been for you emotionally to be the recipient of such an incredible gift? I mean, you must feel like Mary did with Jesus a little bit, in the sense that, wow, how could this be, right? This is so amazing.
I was thinking about it last night and everything I wanted to say, and I think what I'm struck by is just this profound sense of understanding that this was the little soul that was meant to be ours from the very beginning.
Mm.
And I think that while our struggle was hard and there was a lot of hurdles and sadness and tears, I see now, and I couldn't have said this 3 years ago, but you know, I can see now that that was the story we had to go through, the process that we had to go through to meet this little soul that was destined to be ours from the very beginning. Right. Had everything gone out or gone on the way we had planned,
right?
I don't think he wouldn't have been ours. And right. I know in my heart that this, he was meant to be ours from the very beginning.
Isn't that something? And that's not unlike other stories that I've heard and that people listening to us have experienced, that we go through pain. And then on the other side of that pain is an incredible journey of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And often we say that I wouldn't have chosen it then.
Right.
But looking back now, I can see how God has orchestrated a gift to you. We don't need the details on the storyline between the families. There's some of this that needs to be protected in private, but you're confident going forward that he will, when he asks questions about his own life. I mean, Alicia's here with us. She's 14. She understands because she's really part of the founding of Embryo Adoptions. She knows that and it's public. Do you have plans to share that with him? Or are you going to wait and decide that? I mean, you now have a radio show, so, you know, I don't know.
No, we definitely plan on sharing it with them because I think his story has been so important to Matt and I, you know, that it's going to be important to him to just know how it all happened and to see the miracle of what it was and how it all took place. I want him to know how special he is. And, you know, I was thinking, I don't know how exactly we're going to share his story or tell him so that he understands. I think we're just going to build on it little by little as he gets older. But what I really want him to know ultimately, and what I'll work on sharing when we start to tell his story, is that God loved him enough that he, and wanted him on this earth enough that he, you know, gave him this special story that's
mm-hmm.
so unique.
Mm-hmm.
To put him in our family,
right.
Not his biological parents, but parents nonetheless who love him and want the very best for him. And, you know, I just want him to know that he has a purpose and that he was put here on this earth for a reason. And it's not conventional. You know, how he came about wasn't the conventional method, but nonetheless, he's here and he's a gift.
By design.
By design. And I think that's where, looking at the bigger picture for eternity, he's an unrepeatable soul that will live on forever.
That's right.
As every child is, every frozen embryo is a life that is exactly their story. And how God's going to figure out how to bring that all together when we're in heaven with him, it'll all make sense. It'll be complete. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. We get to live those stories now, trying to bring God glory. And we may not even have all the answers. I know parents listening who've done, you know, traditional adoption still struggled with the words to use. And in this case, you have a family saying, we want our child to live a life that is good. It's a beautiful love gift. It's not rejection, but it still is complicated. Mm-hmm. And so we will continue to pray, as many families have gone before you and have had the same journey. Maria, you had 84 babies born.
Mm-hmm.
And you getting to be part of that, and I know that's awe-inspiring. You have a special role that Sarah's taken on with Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. Tell us what that is.
Well, it just so happens that Sarah is also a social worker.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And so it came to me one day, you know what? She'd be perfect because she's already been through our program. So I asked her, I said, well, how would you like to be a social worker for us? Because I have three social workers. I have one in Pennsylvania, one in Wisconsin, and one in Washington. And we move them around depending on who needs to have a home study. So Sarah does all of our Washington home studies
Incredible.
For us.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. And so now you know what to look for. You know what to listen for. And with your background, what a beautiful partnership that is. Has that been fun?
It's been so much fun. And when we went through the home study evaluation with the social worker who came to our house, I remember thinking, what a fun job that would be. You've been never really thinking that it would actually happen. But, you know, God works in amazing ways,
are.
I suppose. So it's been a true gift to not only have gone through our own story, but now to be able to sit down with other families who our stories are all different, but we all share that same sense of longing, you know, and I think being able to talk with them from a place of truly understanding, you know, where they are and having sat where they are right then as I'm meeting with them, you know, I think it just has brought a sense of healing for me. And I think also hopefully a sense of peace for the families too, to be able to just talk to somebody about what they're going through and have them understand.
It always feels so good to be comforted by someone who's been comforted with the truth of the reality of the situation you're actually in, to say they know because they've been there before. Right. Well, I can't thank you both enough. Well, actually, all of you for coming in studio. Maria, what final word would you like to give people? And I know we want you to go to adoptembryos.org, or you can go to donateembryos.org if you want to support this very important ministry. This is a great time of year to do that. Final word from you, Maria.
We have a brand new website, and it is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
So go to adoptembryos.org, and then you can email me right from there, and I'll love to hear from you and love to talk to you.
And you will get direct attention from her. I encourage you to pass this good news on to others. This is a great week to be celebrating the birth of Christ and the birth of all these beautiful babies. Thanks so much for coming
in.
And everyone else, we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener-supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746, Kenmore, Washington, 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.